C-Doc is calling NBC News.
What was okay, I let's saying? See who this is. I put 1-800-NBC-NEWS. Let's see who picks up.
Oh my God, I'm concerned.
You have reached NBC News.
Whoa, it was
National News Desk, press 1.
Doctor said you got PCOS. Now go on, girl, just lose some weight. Till I took the symptoms into my own hands and reversed them naturally. So I became a dietitian to help my sisters feel the best they've ever felt. Take a step in my direction if you wanna prove them wrong and take control of yourself. Join a sister and a
sisters, we have some incredible news today. We were featured on NBC. NBCNews.com called. Actually,
they called. NBCNews.com called us, y'all. 1-800-NBC-NEWS, if you were wondering, that's their phone number.
Wait, that actually works. Seven?
That actually works. I wonder if that is real.
Oh my God, should we call? Okay. No, but the editor called. I mean, she DM'd, and then we talked on the phone. But she did an article about PCOS women and how PCOS is so difficult to diagnose. And I'm just honored to have been quoted in an article on NBCNews.com. Not to, like, toot my own horn. C-Doc is calling NBC.
Okay, let's see who this is. I put 1-800-NBC-NEWS. Let's see who picks up.
Oh my God, I'm concerned.
You have reached NBC News.
Whoa, it was
National News Desk, press 1. For the London Bureau, press 2. For the Washington, D.C. Bureau, press 3. For the Los Angeles Bureau.
This, I'm closing. But that is hilarious. Oh, it is actually a real phone number. 1-800-NBC-NEWS. I just made that up and it was a real phone number.
Oh my God. Wow. That's so cool.
That was hilarious. That is hilarious.
Okay. What was I saying, you guys?
I wasn't even listening to you while I was dying that number. I have no idea what you were saying.
Anyways, we were featured and we're just going to read some of the quotes from that article and just talk about some of the things that it said because it's really important and we are excited that awareness is being spread.
Yeah. And the article talks about basically how women's health, it's like a broken system. Mm-hmm. And why like PCOS is so difficult to diagnose, as is also other conditions that affect women. So we're going to be really talking about that and breaking it down.
There's actually some really interesting things that I learned from this article that I didn't know. And we're going to read that to you as well.
And at the end, we're going to empower you with some tips to help you find the best doctor for your PCOS, as well as a list of things you can ask them so you get the best care for your PCOS and for your health.
Yes. So before we get into it, let's read some incredible stories from Sisters in the Sisterhood, a little testimony Tuesday. C-Doc, do you want to hit it with the first one?
Yes. Sydney says, hi guys, happy Friday. 2 weeks in with gluten and dairy-free and spearmint tea, and I'm already seeing my skin clear up. Has me very excited, now just on the lookout for my period. That's so amazing to hear. The spearmint tea, gluten, and dairy-free helps with lowering inflammation, which can, of course, be really beneficial for your skin, as well as, you know, helping with insulin resistance. Just a little FY to the schwai. Oh, tell me. Mm-hmm. Nice. Our spearmint tea, well, it's not actually a spearmint tea. It's a spearmint blend with other teas that will boost the testosterone lowering benefits. But essentially, our custom spearmint tea blend will be coming out in about a month. We're currently printing all the boxes. The boxes were a little bit difficult to like get to this stage because they're all compostable, plant-based, biodegradable. Mm-hmm. So we really went through like rounds and rounds of like testing different boxes to make sure they fit our criteria. And we finally found one. It took, again, months to get to the final design, but it's printing and then it will be packaged. And then middle of May, wham, bam, kabam.
You'll be the first to know, sisters.
Yes.
You'll be the first to know.
Yes.
All right. The next sister we're going to read about is Sonali from the Sisterhood app. She says, I have lost 4 pounds. And while the scale has remained there for a bit, I can feel my clothes fitting very differently. It's subtle, but I can feel a difference around my middle too. And I have the worst case of PCOS belly. So this is such a big win. Over the last year, my period would be off by a few days every month. It's now arriving on the dot. My mental health is the best it's ever been with daily meditations. And on the days that I don't feel so good, I know to take care of myself and have the tools to help regulate my moods. I will never tire from thanking you, Tallinn and Sirak. It was a chance encounter with your IG in October last year that has turned my life around in the best possible way. So grateful for the sisterhood community.
Wow, what an amazing message. Well, thank you so much, Sally, for those kind words. But as we always say, all the credit always goes to the sisters who are putting in that hard work, putting in those steps day by day. And of course, like, it's just so great to see like this improvement for you month to month and the year over the last year, seeing your period come right on time, as well as your mental health being better. Mm-hmm. Just so happy for you.
Seriously. We are just here cheering you on and providing you with the info that you need.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Shall we?
I was talking, you had to talk to the mic, for goodness sakes.
I am.
You were talking to the side of the mic.
Oh, sorry.
As if you were giving me side eye.
Let's read off a poll that we did in the sisterhood.
Yes.
What is your biggest current hurdle in getting the medical care you need for PCOS?
Okay. We had four options. Mm-hmm. We'll start with the least picked to the highest picked. Mm-hmm. Okay. 9% said cost of treatment. Mm-hmm. 12% said feeling uncomfortable advocating for yourself and your health needs. Mm-hmm. 37%, so this was the second highest, 37% said feeling dismissed or unheard by a doctor regarding your health concerns. Huh. And then the first highest was difficulty accessing specialists like endocrinologists or gynecologists knowledgeable about PCOS.
Wow. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So essentially the biggest pain points are people or sisters
doctors
who...
doctors don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, or they can't find doctors who specialize in PCOS or who know enough about PCOS or... The second highest was basically feeling unheard or dismissed because they're not taking your health concerns seriously.
Yeah. It's really upsetting. And that's why this article is so important. And I'm glad that it came out. And I just think this needs to be stated all over every news platform. I'm just like, I feel so strongly about it because so many women have PCOS. Like, why aren't we screaming about it?
Yeah. And it's really interesting to also see the cost of treatment being the lowest because... I bet you if sisters were given some sort of like a treatment plan, mm-hmm. a lot would be like, okay, yeah. I'll do it. If you're telling me this is something, anything,
yeah. Give me any type of direction, I'll try it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I can definitely see that being low because they're just not giving a treatment plan in the first place. So
my doctor just shrugged and gave me birth control. And like, why am I leaving the doctor's office not knowing anything about what's going on? Like, why are people... We did an interview with a sister on the podcast and she's like, I didn't even know, or it was a live on Instagram. She's like, I didn't even know I had insulin resistance for 20 years. How could you not tell your patient they have insulin resistance?
That's insane. But with that though, let's go into the article because the title of the article is essentially PCOS symptoms are still difficult for doctors to diagnose and treat, and here's why. Mm-hmm. By the way, we'll link the article in the podcast description so you can read it as we're doing this episode. But, I mean, let's get into it.
Let's get into it. So, as you know, the current healthcare system for women with PCOS is failing us. An estimated of 70% of PCOS cases go undiagnosed. Mm-hmm. So, all these women are just walking around suffering from symptoms, not knowing why. So, how can we advocate for ourselves and get the PCOS care we deserve? Yeah. So, in this episode, we're going to give you... tips on how to make the best out of that 5-minute doctor appointment so you can get everything that you need out of it.
Yes.
But let's kind of like talk about this NBC article, okay?
And wait, it sounds like we're just talking about ourselves here. What we're trying to do, just to point out, because it sounds a little bit conceited right now. We're going to read experts. What am I saying? See, like, all right. We're going to read.
He just slapped himself. He just did an Instagram story about how I slapped him.
Yes.
And I did in a TikTok.
No, we're going to take excerpts from the news article and break it down.
Uh-huh.
Not just read our quotes and be like, hey, we said that.
Yeah. Except I really want to do that. Just kidding.
No, I'm just saying. I don't want it to come off as like we're just like, you know, puffing ourselves up. This is more about reading it.
So in the article, let's start from the top. In the article, in the beginning, the hook is so good, the way she wrote it. She talks about how many women with this condition end up taking off-label prescription drugs that are technically approved for other conditions, not PCOS. So like diabetes medication, medications help with obesity. And it's like there isn't something for PCOS. Like, why don't we have the research?
Guess what? Metformin, and we'll get to this, but metformin is not actually designated by the FDA to treat PCOS.
Yeah.
It's just given to PCOS women because it helps with diabetes and prediabetes. And because PCOS women have insulin resistance, it's just like, oh, okay, take metformin. This.
Yeah, and oftentimes it's not even explained when it's given. So that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So in the beginning of the article, really hooked me. She's like, she tells a story of a sister, Joliet, who's 45 years old and takes 12 pills every morning and 15 pills every evening.
Wow.
She has an injectable medication once a week. She has PCOS. She has migraines. She has high blood pressure. She has diabetes, high cholesterol, anxiety, depression. And all of these medications are treating the symptoms of PCOS, but nobody has probably told her what PCOS is and how it's triggering all of these symptoms. So it almost feels like you're kind of like a victim of PCOS because you don't know that there are tools that you can use, you know, to improve your hormonal health, which will then improve your cholesterol or your anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they quote Tallinn with, there's no magic pill. Tallinn was diagnosed with PCOS at age 18 and now works as a diet and lifestyle coach for women with PCOS. I would say dietitian, but sure.
Yeah.
Although research is murky, when it comes to the best diet for women with PCOS, the most up-to-date international guidelines recommend exercise and a healthy diet.
Yeah, it's really like so unfortunate that the first line approach of managing PCOS is diet and lifestyle. The first line approach. But instead of doctors saying that, they assume that you've just been eating junk food all day, that you have caused yourself to gain weight and get PCOS. They just make these assumptions that leave you feeling like, oh, I really messed up. This is all my fault. And you actually don't realize that like the little things might affect your blood sugar. Like, you know, a few snacks a day can affect your blood sugar. And maybe if you swap them out for something else and, you know, there are like little things that can help with your insulin sensitivity and make all the difference. Like eating 35 grams of protein for breakfast has been life changing for so many women.
Oh, 100%.
And like, why isn't that the suggestion instead of like, you're eating too much? Like, what are you eating for breakfast? Is it good for your blood sugar?
Don't eat carbs at breakfast.
Yeah.
Like, it's giving the wrong direction for nutrition.
Exactly.
And diet.
Yeah. It's just, that's what I was telling her when she interviewed me on the phone when NBC News called 1-800.
And the next part was, so there's, as we all know, there's insufficient funding for research given how common PCOS is. There was a statistic I remember, but I think their statistic was when you compare the 90s, to 2000s to 2020, like the research for PCOS women has actually declined, which is just crazy. There was a statistic, but it's just crazy to even know that it's declined when it's actually increasing in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And with that being said, the article says, among the reported 315 medical conditions that receive federal support from the NIH, PCOS ranks near the bottom, with an estimated $10 million earmarked for research in 2024. Until 2022, PCOS was so underfunded that it wasn't included as a line item in the NIH list.
At all.
Yeah, at all. That's crazy. So at least it's good to know that in 2024, it actually got earmarked.
Yeah,
there was actually
it's at
some
the bottom
sort
of the list.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And in 2022, it wasn't even there.
It wasn't even there.
Yeah, and that's like, and that in terms of the 2022, like that's down from other years as well. So it's just like kind of crazy to even see that.
Make it make sense, you guys. And that's why I'm making such a big deal about this article. Like it's anytime it's being spoken publicly, like PCOS is being spoken about, whether it's on a talk show or like a celebrity comes out or this article, like it's a big deal because it is only now being something that's being talked about. Look at this, like on 2024, it took this long, you know?
Yeah.
I've had it for like 15 years, like hello.
Yeah, and the article even said, and the condition is not explicitly included in the 100 million the Department of Health and Human Services announced recently to research neglected areas of women's health. So, if PCOS is not part of a neglected area of women's health, why?
Where is it?
Where is it?
Where is it? It's not even on the list of the $100 million that they're giving to the research about neglected areas.
I mean, it's great that at least they're putting money towards neglected areas of women's health. Absolutely. I'm happy to at least hear the government is doing something about that.
But how could we not be on the list?
Yeah, how could PCOS not be on the list? I mean, obviously, there's so many different marginalized conditions out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think PCOS should be on there when you consider it 1 out of 10 in US and 1 out of 5 in the world have it. That's 10 to 25% of the women population.
Yeah, it's outrageous. And then in the article, you know, it goes into how doctors recommend birth control. And she, like, asked me what I thought about it. And she quoted me once again. She says, she quoted, I was like, wait, I have so many questions. And then my doctor said, it is what it is.
Yeah. Like you had so many questions for your doctor when you went. And the doctor just said,
just gave birth control. I know.
It is what it is.
I love that she quoted me and it sounds like me. Because I actually say, I was like, wait, I have so many questions. A direct quote.
From NBC News.
From NBC News.
1-800.
And the article also mentions how now they're recommending Ozempic, and I think it's pronounced Wegovy, to so many women with PCOS. And it's shown some promise for some women with PCOS, but there's just small studies and they're in their early stages. And I'm really glad this article touched on it because it's just such a trend right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's the studies are so early in their clinical research, and I would highly encourage if you're listening to this, go back to our previous episode with Dr. Phyllis Gersh.
Yeah.
Where we dove very deep into Ozempic and the GLP-1 drugs. And she basically talked about the pros and the cons. And she explained why the research is not actually that great.
Mm-hmm.
I would highly recommend listening to that episode because she really broke it down and like kind of like pointed out these things in the research that are like not red flags, but are kind of like eye-opening, like, that doesn't make sense, or that's actually not that great when you compare it to lifestyle changes.
Yeah, she talks about the results of the studies, and she's like, I'm not impressed.
Yeah.
You know, like, this isn't that great.
Yeah, and with that being said, too, we, of course, know that on Ozempic and these other GLP-1s, it has helped a lot of women with PCOS. They've experienced weight loss. We've also seen, I forgot her name, but there was a celebrity who went on Ozempic and then she came off of it and then she explained how she gained double the weight back.
Ooh.
It was on TikTok. Somebody had been talking about it and it was really interesting because essentially what can happen to a lot of women with PCOS, kind of similar to, like, for example, when people go on like a keto diet or like those kinds of non-sustainable things, they go on it, they lose the weight, and then when they stop taking it or when they stop doing whatever it was, because they didn't apply the lifestyle changes, they can gain the weight right back.
Yeah.
So that's where it becomes really important. If you do decide to go on Ozempic or another GLP-1, just be aware of applying the other lifestyle changes. So at least when you get off of it, you're not just gaining the weight right back.
If everyone talked about Ovacetol as much as they talk about Ozempic, the PCOS world would be a different place.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
And the article says, Novo Nordisk, the company that makes Ozempic and Wegovy, said it has no plans as of now to seek FDA approval for PCOS. Still, the company mentions PCOS on its Truth About Weight website, part of its marketing campaign for Wegovy. And I'm just reading the article here. So it's interesting.
She's dropping facts. She's saying how they're putting PCOS as like the marketing campaign, as part of the marketing campaign, but they haven't yet approved it hasn't yet been approved by the FDA to be used for PCOS.
It would be interesting to see what happens with that in the next several years.
Mm-hmm.
I would be really surprised if they just approved it, if the FDA said this is approved for PCOS, because like that's just saying then, oh, the prescription to PCOS is losing weight.
Yeah.
And that would be...
But it's not.
That would be a terrible thing to say. Yeah. Because now all you're saying to all these women is that, oh, like, if you want to fix your problems, lose weight, which is what we've been talking about as a problem for the last 5-6 years on social media.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that, sisters. With that being said, go ahead and read the article. We're going to link it. And let's talk about some things that you can do when you go to your next doctor's appointment. I know sometimes it's very fast. It's a 5-minute appointment, but we can make the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a few tips. And my first tip is to actually do your own research before you go to your next doctor's appointment.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to this podcast, most likely you know you already have PCOS. So the next time you go to the doctor, bring in some research studies. We also have research studies on inositol and how it works just as effectively as metformin. We're going to link that in the description as well. You can print it out and take it with you and talk to your doctor about whether or not you're a good candidate to take ovacetol, or maybe discuss that if you have symptoms on metformin, maybe you want to try ovacetol instead.
I mean, I just want to read this study because it's so interesting. It says inositol versus metformin administration in PCOS patients, a case control study. And in this case, 128 patients completed the study. And I'm just going to go to the conclusion because you can definitely, we'll link it, you can read through the whole thing. But it said myo-inositol plus d-chiro-inositol, so the combination, yielded significantly better results in weight reduction, resumption of spontaneous ovulation, and spontaneous pregnancy compared with metformin in PCOS disease patients, whereas the effect of both drugs were comparable as regards the decreasing AMH and
HOMA-IR. Insulin sensitivity. So just as effective at improving insulin resistance, but inositol, specifically myo and d-chiro-inositol, had better results with weight loss, with ovulation, with pregnancy, with PCOS.
Yeah. And just keep in mind, it says myo and d-chiro. So
yes.
Not myo-inositol, because I know that's very popular too, myo-inositol, but they're talking about the combination here, which is really important to consider.
Super important. And it says for 3 months too, by the way. Like, this is important details here.
Yes.
Okay. So with that being said, we're going to link that study. Mm-hmm. And you can print it out, or take it with you to your doctor's appointment. We're also going to link a download for labs you can request.
Yes.
And questions that you can ask and prepare yourself when you go to your next doctor's visit. So go ahead and click that to see a list of labs that we suggest asking for.
Yes, absolutely. And then, of course, if your doctor won't give you an ultrasound or run any lab work, then honestly, that's a red flag. Like, you need to find somebody who is willing to do any labs you request. Because at the end of the day, you're paying for it.
Yeah.
Or your insurance is paying for it. So what does the doctor really care?
I don't know.
Right? Is a doctor paying out of his pocket? No. You're paying. You're doing it. So if you want an ultrasound, which, by the way, you should do an ultrasound once a year with PCOS if you've had cysts in the past, to make sure your cysts are either getting smaller, which, by the way, your cysts can disappear altogether.
Yes.
But make sure they're getting smaller and
see if there's a big one or is it going to rupture? Like, what's going
on?
I go every January and I make sure that, you know, everything's okay.
Yeah. Run your lab work, you do your ultrasound, just basically do a full.
Yeah. My doctor's fine with it. She's a very nice lady and she's like, sure, whatever you want.
They check your boobs.
She does it.
Right?
Checks my boobs. And everything seems to be okay right now.
Even though I check them all the time,
oh,
I guess that's not good enough. I'm just kidding.
But yeah, at least it'll help you see if the things that you're doing are helping. Maybe you're taking supplements, maybe you're gluten and dairy free, whatever it is. Like, is it helping? Let's get an ultrasound and see the progress.
Yes.
Or if you don't have ovarian cysts, you know.
And of course, the diagnosis is one of the most important parts, where they may not diagnose you and it may take years. But keep in mind, you need two out of the following three symptoms to be diagnosed. The three symptoms are irregular periods, ovarian cysts, and hyperandrogenism, which is elevated testosterone levels. Mm-hmm. So if you have two out of three, then most likely you may have PCOS. Of course, your doctor has to confirm. But if you feel you have two out of the three and the doctor is saying, no, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Find a different doctor, go through the process again, and just make sure they understand you're having these symptoms and, you know, just go for it.
Yeah. And piggybacking off of that, like, the doctor has to understand what PCOS is, not only just how to diagnose it, which for some reason many doctors can't figure out how to diagnose PCOS, but also what is happening metabolically. Like, if they're just going to tell you to just lose weight and cut calories and exercise more often, then they don't even understand what PCOS is. It's a metabolic hormonal condition. Your weight gain is a result of the hormonal imbalance.
Yeah.
It's not because you ate too much. It's because of the hormonal balance that's making your metabolism slower and resistant to insulin, and that just leads to belly fat, and it is what it is, but it's not your fault. So what can we do to help with that instead of suffering from those symptoms and then feeling shame and blame after your appointment?
Yeah, exactly. And I know a lot of times it's like, how do I find the best doctor? When you go on Google, it's hard to like know who's good and who's not good. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, unfortunately, it is trial and error. If we could set up a whole database in for the entire world of doctors and their reviews,
go here.
We would. But as you can imagine, like, we don't know, right? We can't like search the entire country and find the best doctors and know without actually going there and experiencing them ourselves. However, we have interviewed many doctors on this podcast, so you can definitely check them out, mm-hmm. see if they offer virtual consultations, because we know that those doctors, like, we've actually had great experiences with, and also other sisters have recommended them as well. For example, a sister recommended, her name is Sam. Thank you, Sam. She recommended a doctor that she worked with, who's a functional doctor, and that she's going to come on our podcast. We're going to interview the doctor and kind of spread more awareness about how great doctors can be. So if you have a doctor that you love, has been amazing with your PCOS journey, please send their information to us so we can do an episode, or at least talk about her or him and spread the news to other sisters who need that kind of support.
Yes. Stay tuned for that next episode with Sam's doctor. I'm super excited.
Wait, I'm getting a phone call. I'm getting a phone call.
You have reached NBC News. For the National News Desk.
They calling me. NBC News. They calling me. You know what, NBC? I'm going to have to put you on hold.
Oh, my God.
I'll call him back later.
All right, sisters. Until next time. And hopefully the next article we're featured in.
Take care, everybody. We love you. Have a great rest of your week. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Zinc, vitamin D, magnesium, B12, these are all the vitamins that we're deficient in because of PCOS, and the list grows on.
If there was only a way to get all of these into one supplement bundle without going on a massive online search.
Hello.
What?
Isn't that why we created Metabolism Plus?
Oh, you mean our supplement line that covers all the nutrients and vitamins a woman with PCOS needs in one bundle?
Yes. Sisters, when I was diagnosed with PCOS, I was so overwhelmed with researching all the different supplement companies, and eventually I had a huge collection of bottles in my cabinet that I couldn't even keep up with.
So with that in mind, we created a bundle of four essential supplements that have the fundamental nutrients for women with PCOS, and it's called Metabolism Plus.
Not only does our bundle include omega-3, coenzyme Q10, curcumin, but it even has a multivitamin designed to fill nutrient gaps that are common in women with PCOS.
And what makes it really special is that all of our supplements are NSF certified, which means they are third-party tested for purity and accuracy.
Head over to ovafit.org to order your Metabolism Plus bundle today.
That's OVAFIT.org.
Okay, stop smelling. The link is in the description.
How dare you?